She could tell by the look in his eyes that he wasn't all in with this. In fact, he wasn't really in at all. Did she blame him? If it were reversed, would she agree to this crazy scheme? She let out a frustrated breath. Maybe it was a bad idea. She turned, looking at herself in the mirror. She didn't recognize herself, no, but she wasn't Danielle Stevens. And Reed was right. Would they really let Danielle Stevens leave town with such little fanfare? Hell. She ripped the wig off. Harper? She moved closer to Danny, studying her profile. No, it would never work. She reached up and touched the wig, then shook her head. Reed is right. It's not going to work. She met her gaze. Don't ever dye your hair brown, she murmured. I take it we're going with Plan B? Yeah. She turned to Reed. Danny and I will go alone. That'll keep you out of trouble with Mize. That's Plan B? No, Harper, Plan B should be going into the station. Plan B should be you... No. Tell Mize I took off and wouldn't tell you a thing. If it ends badly, they'll have someone to blame. It's going to end badly. You think you can take this guy on by yourself? Hell, Harper, he already killed a cop. He's a pro. He's not going to just waltz into your room and let you arrest him. I don't plan on arresting him, she said pointedly. As you said, he's killed a cop. I doubt it's his first time. Harper, let's go in. Tell Mize about the locket. Let them... No, she said firmly. I don't trust anyone right now. Not with her. Chapter 42. Nervous? Scared? Danny nodded. Not going to lie, yes, but I'm glad we're together. That was a stupid plan, Harper conceded, although the hair salon in the hotel was very accommodating. She laughed. Yeah, but that blonde wig was so not you. She leaned back against the seat, trying to relax. You're going to get into a lot of trouble with Mize, aren't you? I imagine so. I'll worry about it later. Danny reached to her neck, noting the absence of the locket. Harper must have seen her. It's in a safe place. Danny glanced at her and smiled. It feels weird without it. It always does when I take it off. Is that the only thing you have from your childhood? Yes. When I left home, I didn't take much with me. I told you my parents weren't in favor of the move, and they didn't help at all. I think they were hoping that the move would be too much for me, too big, and I'd change my mind. She took a deep breath, remembering that time in her life. There was always friction between us, but that was probably the thing that drove the biggest wedge. After I moved, well, our relationship deteriorated quickly. I was truly on my own. She paused. I think secretly, they were glad I left. They didn't know what to do with me. I was so different from my sister. Well, like you said, they were older when you were born. They probably didn't know how to relate to you. Add in the fact that the pregnancy was a big shock to them. Yes. What about you? You said you had older brothers?
4 and 6 years older.
Any contact? Harper glanced at her.
They try.
And your parents?
We talk occasionally. They're not quite sure how to handle the topic of Jan, so we sort of dance around it. It's just this big elephant in the room that we ignore.
You should go see them. Reconnect. Harper gave her an incredulous look, and Danny laughed. I know, I'm a fine one to be offering advice, aren't I?
My parents are younger. Yours are what, in their 70s?
Danny nodded. My dad was 50 when I was born, so yes, he's 78, 79. She turned to Harper. I haven't seen them since that day I left home. I was 19. I remember thinking how old they were then, how out of touch they were with me, with life.
10 years?
About, yes. I've changed a lot in 10 years. If not for the gay thing, they might actually like me better now.
She reached across the console to touch Harper's arm, letting her hand rest there. "Are you okay, doing this on our own?" she asked, changing the subject. "I wish we had some backup, but I can't blame Reed for not wanting to get his ass busted just because I decided to take off with you, unauthorized." Harper raised her eyebrows. "Are you okay with it?"
"I trust you."
"Why? I almost got you killed."
"Because you're concerned about me.
You're not concerned with proper protocol or saving face if something goes wrong. Your only interest is protecting me." "So many things could go wrong, Danny. This guy, whoever he is, knows what he's doing. He's a pro at this. Our only advantage is that we now know how he's tracking us.
Meaning the locket will be used as bait, not me."
"Exactly. It's still risky."
"If we had gone in, would they really have brought in the FBI?"
"Yes."
"And you would have been off the case?"
"In a heartbeat."
"Even against my wishes?"
"A cop was killed. They don't care quite as much about you as they did before," Harper said bluntly.
"Which is why I'm glad I'm with you and not them."
She squeezed Harper's arm, where her hand had been resting, then pulled it away. Were they on the run now? Was it like a bad movie? Now that her stalker had resorted to killing a police officer, were they even concerned where she and Harper were? Were they truly on their own? "Second thoughts?" Danny gave a hesitant smile.
"No. A lot could go wrong, I know, but I agree with you. If we'd stayed in Dallas, if I were surrounded by police and the FBI, he wouldn't make a move. He'd disappear."
"Like a ghost."
"But I'd know he was still out there. He might show up later, maybe months later, after I'd let my guard down. If I leave here, and he's still out there, I have no choice but to get a bodyguard."
She turned to Harper.
"It's what I probably should have done in the first place. Then you wouldn't be mixed up in all this. A woman wouldn't have been raped. A police officer wouldn't have been killed."
"Danny, you can't take the blame for that."
"I should take the blame for that. I brought him here."
She folded her hands together.
"And yes, I am scared and nervous. I got used to having a stalker, I guess, but not all of this."
She leaned her head back.
"And then, after last night, God, I just wish we'd met, well, without a stalker in the picture."
She looked at Harper then.
"Of course, things might be different between us. I doubt we'd have grown this close."
Harper nodded. "Yeah, I doubt we would have been sharing a bed, which I quite liked, by the way. There was never anything uncomfortable about it, even that first night when we were still strangers." There were too many shadows in the car for her to read Harper's expression, but she didn't doubt the sincerity of her words. Yes, comfortable. From the moment she'd met Harper, she'd felt comfortable with her, as if they'd been old friends reuniting after years apart. Which was odd, of course. She had no old friends. She had no friends at all. Feeling suffocated again by her loneliness, she wanted to curl into a ball and cry. As if sensing this, Harper reached across the console of their rented car and took her hand, squeezing it tightly. The hand was warm and soft, and Danny's fingers entwined with Harper's, feeling comforted by the contact. Yes, she did have a friend. Chapter 43. Harper was struggling to stay awake, and she'd already made up her mind to stop at the first motel she came to. As far as she could tell, there was no one following them. Once they'd left Decatur, traffic had been light. By the time midnight rolled around, the nearest car to her was at least a mile behind, as the headlights faded in and out of her view. As they approached Wichita Falls, even at this hour on a Sunday night, there was a little more traffic than she would have imagined. It made it harder to judge if someone were following, especially at night, as cars' headlights seemed to merge and blur with every blink of her eye. Still, she felt confident that if he had been following, he wasn't right on their tail. And he didn't have to be, did he? He was following the locket. She glanced over at Danny, and couldn't help but smile. She was curled against the seat, facing Harper. She'd tried to stay awake, tried to keep the conversation going, but as the miles ticked by, she'd given up the fight.
"Hey, wake up," she said softly. "We're here."
Danny shifted in her seat, then jerked her head up.
"Oh my God, I fell asleep. Why did you let me?"
"I tried tickling you, but that didn't seem to help," she teased. "Besides, you didn't get much sleep last night."
"Neither did you,"
Danny said around a yawn.
"You must be exhausted."
"I am." She pulled into a well-lit parking lot, following the blinking arrow to the office. There were 10 or more cars in the lot of the Coyote Motel, and, at least on the outside, it appeared to be clean and meticulously maintained. Large pots of colorful flowers glowed under the lights and gave a welcoming appearance. "Will this do?"
"It's fine with me," Danny said. "Will you be able to sleep, or..."
"I've got to get a few hours, yes."
"Will it be safe? I mean..."
"We'll get 2 rooms, adjoining. One for us, one for the Locket. I'm not sure he'll try anything tonight. We've left Dallas. Probably threw him off his game a little. I guess he's going to see what we've got planned."
"Cat and mouse?"
"Yes. When we head out again tomorrow, he's bound to think I'm taking you back to L.A.
"But couldn't he decide to follow along and wait until I'm back home to resume his stalking?"
"I don't think so. He's past that. What fun would it be for him to walk up to your door, pretending to be Detective Zapalak? You'd let him in. There'd be no fight, no chase."
"I hope you're right."
Harper could hear the apprehension in her voice. "Danny, I'm not going to leave you until we've got this guy. If I've got to take you all the way to California, I will."
Danny nodded. "I'm ready for this all to be over with, you know. But it'll be hard to say goodbye to you, Scout."
Harper smiled. "Not that I want to say goodbye just yet, but I'm really sick of this bastard."
Danny sat down in the chair, feeling somewhat detached from the situation she found herself in. It could have been a movie set. The gun felt odd in her hands. The whole last week could have been a movie, she thought, especially last night. She'd been abducted by the stalker, the clown, thrown unconscious into the back seat of a car. Then, with recovered consciousness, she threw herself out of that same speeding car, more scared of her fate with him than that of tumbling out onto a busy street. And then Harper was there, picking her up, holding her, telling her everything was okay. And later, Harper had been there when she'd needed her, when she'd been at her lowest, when, emotionally, she was as drained as she'd ever been. Harper had been there. She glanced over at her now, letting her gaze linger on her face, feeling somewhat comforted by simply looking at her. They'd entered the motel room, and Harper had quickly turned on all the lights. She'd placed the Locket on the dresser. After locking the door and sliding the chair in front of it, they'd gone into the adjoining room, turning no lights on at all. Harper had pulled the drapes closed tightly, only then turning on the bathroom light. She'd given Danny her backup weapon, then had literally crashed on the bed. She'd been asleep within seconds, it seemed. Harper had told her she needed at least a couple of hours of sleep. She'd also told her if she heard anything suspicious, or if she was scared, to wake her immediately. Of course, every little noise she heard outside had her fidgeting nervously.
Scared?
Yes, she was. Scared that he would come. Scared that he wouldn't, and they'd have to deal with it all again another day. And also scared that it could be over soon, for completely different reasons. She needed to come to grips with the fact that what they'd shared last night was the result of the circumstances and nothing more. They would say their goodbyes and get back to their respective lives. And in a few months' time, she would return to Dallas, this time definitely as Danielle Stevens, about to shoot her final movie.
Then what? Would she and Harper see each other while she was there? Could they grab dinner, maybe?
Would Harper even want to see her? Or would she be riddled with guilt and want nothing to do with her? Or worse,
There would be no guilt at all, and Harper would be playing the dating game. Perhaps Danny was nothing more than a bridge for her, a bridge taking her from Jan onto the next woman she could fall in love with. She sighed, again looking over at Harper as she slept. Her face was in the shadows, but Danny knew every curve of it. She'd memorized it long before she'd actually met Harper. She wondered if that's how it would be, a memory in the back of her mind, a memory she took out from time to time, a memory that was real and not just the etching of a photograph. A slamming of the door brought her back to the present, and she jerked to attention, her gaze darting around the room. She heard a car start up, then drive off, and she relaxed again, as relaxed as she could be, sitting on guard, holding a gun in her hands. Chapter 44. Harper woke with a start, disoriented for a moment as she reached a hand out next to her. Finding the bed empty, she sat up. In the darkness, she could see Danny in the chair, watching her.
"What time is it?"
Her voice still thick with sleep. "Nearly 4. She groaned and lay back down.
"You were supposed to wake me at 2.
"I know, but you were sleeping so soundly. I couldn't bring myself to."
Harper patted the bed beside her. "Come here. You're bound to be tired."
"Yes, I am."
Harper took the gun and placed it on the table beside the bed, and the other gun. As Danny lay down next to her, she wished they could get undressed and under the covers, but she didn't want to let her guard down. It was 4, though. If he hadn't come by now, he probably wasn't going to. Still, she didn't completely relax. She leaned back against the pillow and pulled Danny closer. Danny snuggled next to her with a tired sigh.
"We don't have to leave early, do we?"
"No." She closed her eyes. "You can sleep." Danny snaked an arm across her waist and burrowed down beside her. Harper was surprised at how familiar it all felt, holding Danny this way. Not Jan, but Danny. She opened her eyes a little, seeing the mass of blonde hair spread out around her. She closed them again and pulled Danny a little closer.
They didn't have time for this. They should get up. They should shower and get on the road. But Harper couldn't bring herself to open her eyes, to wake Danny, to end the peaceful slumber she'd fallen into while Danny snuggled against her. They didn't have time for this. She didn't have time for this. Not for these few precious moments when things felt normal. And it had been so very long since things had felt normal in her life. Once she opened her eyes, that feeling would end. She was lying here with Danielle Stevens while a stalker was hunting them. A stalker who had turned into a cop killer. A stalker who was now hunted, most likely futilely, in Dallas. Or maybe they weren't hunting the stalker at all. Maybe they were chasing her and Danny. Maybe Mize finally realized that Danny was like a magnet for the stalker. And maybe she shouldn't have run. Maybe she should have done what Reed had wanted. Go in. Let Mize take over. Let homicide take over. Hell, let the FBI take over. It wasn't too late. She could turn around and head back to Dallas today. Hand Danny over to them. Most likely hand over her gold shield and service weapon, too. How long would her suspension be? A couple of weeks? A month? 6 months? But no, there wasn't any need to go back to Dallas. It wouldn't take long to find them, even if they were using cash. The rental car was in Danny's name. Danny Strauss, that is. They would most likely find that out before too long. She figured they maybe had one more day before the FBI swooped in. One more night, if they were lucky. Their guy hadn't made a move yet. Would he be able to hold out much longer? She didn't think so. They'd drive up Highway 287 toward Amarillo. There were a handful of small towns along the route. They'd grab a motel with easy access. He wouldn't be able to resist, would he? He'd make his move, and she'd... "You're frowning,"
Danny murmured.
"What are you thinking about?"
Harper took a deep breath, finally forcing her eyes open.
"Lots of things," she admitted.
"Like?" "Like I'm hungry, but I don't want to get out of bed. Danny leaned up on her elbow, meeting her gaze. Harper was thankful for the shadows in the room. Even so, she knew Danny could see through her lie.
Second thoughts?
Harper nodded. It won't matter much anyway. I figure we'll only have one more day at the most before they find us. I just hope our clown friend makes his move before then. Danny sat up completely and brushed her hair back, away from her face.
They? Meaning FBI?
She nodded. Yes.
Do you think my name has been leaked yet?
I think they'll try to find us first before your name is associated with Sorrel's death. If at all, it'll just be a media frenzy. I'm sure they'd like to avoid that.
What does that say about me that I'd rather face our clown friend than be in the middle of a media circus?
Harper smiled. It says that you think I can protect you against the clown, but not the circus. Danny studied her for a moment, then leaned closer and lightly kissed her lips. Harper's eyes closed, but Danny took it no farther.
I feel like I've known you for years, Danny whispered. How can that be?
Harper wished she had an answer. She too felt closer to Danny than a week warranted. Even without the intimacy they'd shared, she still felt that closeness. Making love had only deepened it.
So yes, how could it be that the familiarity between them was fostered by days and not years? Was it the stress of the situation? Was it the state of affairs they found themselves in? Life or death? Did they bond out of necessity? Or was it something else entirely?
Her answer was to touch Danny's face, caress the smooth skin, get lost in her eyes. She had an aching need to be close to her, to take the time to connect on a more physical level. Emotional. She could see in Danny's eyes that she wanted the same. But... We should get up. Shower. See what the day holds.
We should make love.
Danny countered in a whisper. I don't think we're afforded that kind of time.
Time is all we can control, Harper. Let's get out of these clothes. Let's take the time.
Chapter 45. They went into the adjoining room, and Harper picked up the locket. She held it in her hand for a second before slipping it into her pocket. She slung her bag over her shoulder, then glanced at Danny, who was already by the door waiting. She had a smile on her face, her skin still flushed from their lovemaking, even after a shower. Harper returned her smile.
Thank you for forcing me to get naked.
Danny laughed. Yeah, it took all of 2 seconds to persuade you.
Did it take that long?
Danny came closer, close enough for them to touch.
I like you, Scout. Through all of this craziness, you've kept me sane.
Danny gave her a flirty smile. As an added plus, you're a very good kisser.
That's a bonus, huh?
Danny ran her hand up her chest, pausing to cup her breast before moving higher, circling her neck and pulling Harper closer. The kiss left Harper breathless, breathless and wanting more, breathless and wishing they were...
Where?
Anywhere but here? Wishing that this was a real road trip? Wishing she was taking Danny back to California? Wishing they didn't ever have to stop? Those thoughts startled her. She had a house in Dallas, a job. That was her life. Her lonely life, where her only company was when Jan's ghost came to visit. As she stared into Danny's eyes, she realized that she hadn't given Jan a thought since... Well, she couldn't remember when. Certainly not yesterday, and certainly not this morning. Not this morning while they were making love. She pulled Danny into her arms, soaking in her closeness for a few seconds longer before gently pushing her away.
I wish we had a day to play, but we don't.
Danny nodded.
I know. Back to the real world.
She paused, again smiling at Harper.
The real world sucks.
That it does. Harper motioned for Danny to get behind her as she opened the door, leaving the security chain still attached. The sun was bright, the sky clear, the air cool. There were no cars parked near their rental. She closed the door and removed the chain. Stay close to me.
Like glue.
Harper smiled when she felt Danny's fingers linked with a belt loop of her jeans. The smile was short-lived, however. A doll. A damn Raggedy Ann doll again was propped against the small flower pot on the sidewalk. To her surprise, Danny walked over to it, and without much ceremony, gave it a quick kick, sending it flying out into the parking lot.
I really hate this guy.
She turned to Harper, and I'm beginning to really hate dolls. Harper laughed, glad Danny had disposed of the offending doll. Come on, let's get out of here.
Probably don't want to talk about this, but do you think there's any significance to him using a Raggedy Ann doll?
Significance? Even if he was able to somehow get my name, I doubt he'd have the resources to find out that I was assigned the case in Tucson. I still think it's just a coincidence. I don't think he's leaving them for my benefit.
Danny nodded. But if this were a movie, it wouldn't be so far-fetched that Harper's serial killer, the one who murdered her lover, would show back up in her life.
It wasn't a movie. It was only a coincidence that her stalker left dolls. A variety of dolls, to be sure. The fact that he had resorted to using Raggedy Ann dolls of late was of no consequence. The only impact it had, for Harper at least, was bringing the tragedy in Tucson back to the forefront. She tried to relax as the miles sped by. There wasn't much in terms of scenery as they headed west toward Amarillo. By the time they'd left the motel, it was closer to lunch than breakfast. The aroma of burgers and fries filled the car, and they'd eaten, almost ravenously, in silence, as Harper drove. Now lunch was gone, wadded up in a bag on the back seat floor, and her watery Coke sloshed in the cup, the ice all but melted. She passed the time by checking the mirrors, trying to decide if someone was following them. There wasn't a lot of traffic, mostly 18-wheelers and pickup trucks. The bright sunshine had given way to clouds, dropping the temperature a few degrees. The country music radio station they'd picked up had warned of drizzle, and a freeze was in the forecast for that evening. She wondered if Harper had even packed a jacket. When she'd packed a bag for their stay in a safe house, she wasn't intending for it to last over a week. She supposed the rest of her things were still piled by Harper's desk. With that thought, she wondered if her belongings had already been pilfered, perhaps out of curiosity, or maybe Lieutenant Mize had them searched.
Did you bring a jacket?
Harper shook her head. No, I hadn't planned on a cross-country trip. This sweatshirt is fine, though. Are you cold?
No, I'm okay.
She glanced over her shoulder.
Anyone following?
Not that I can tell. You worried?
Danny smiled. Not any more than I've been for the past week. Honestly, I don't know that it's all sunk in yet. I mean, he smashed the door in, knocked you out, knocked me out. Was it chloroform? We did a car chase. I lost my mind and jumped out of said speeding car. You were there to save me, in more ways than one. Now we're on the run, from both the clown and the police.
She laughed nervously.
Really? Are we really on the run?
I'm afraid so.
You're going to get into so much trouble, aren't you?
Yes. Harper glanced at her. But don't worry about that. Mize doesn't like me anyway, remember?
Oh, yeah, because of his wife.
She leaned back.
You think they'll find us today? Tonight?
It shouldn't take long for them to know that Danny Strauss and Danielle Stevens are the same person. If they find us before your stalker does, then it's game over, I'm afraid. He'll disappear into the wind. The only hope of finding him would be if you could give a sketch artist a good enough description.
Who knows?
Face recognition may pop up something.
The problem is, when I think of the man pretending to be Detective Zapalak, I see a guy in clown makeup looking back at me in the mirror, like he was in the car.
The only definitive thing we've got so far is from the rape victim. She said he had a tattoo on his wrist. Red feather, she thought.
Danny's eyes widened. Yes, I remember it. He always had on a suit when he came, but I remember one time he moved his sleeve to look at his watch. I saw it then. But I couldn't make out what it was. It was definitely red.
She leaned back again, trying to picture Detective Zapalak's face. Or rather, the man pretending to be a detective. Short, dark hair, nearly black, clean-shaven. He was a handsome man, but now that she thought about it, he was a little standoffish, not friendly, nothing warm and fuzzy about him. She hadn't thought anything of it at the time. He was simply a cop, answering her call, coming to her aid, because of a stalker. And he had been the stalker all along. Chapter 46. This place rivals the East Side Budget Inn, Harper said as she stood inside the motel room. There was a lone queen bed, a small dresser, the corners chipped, and a dirty, dingy chair that had a rip in the seat.
It might actually be worse, I think, Danny murmured. There's a stain on the bedspread. I'm afraid to even guess what it might be.
I'm sorry. Do you want to go somewhere else?
No, it's not like we're planning on sleeping. Same plan as last night?
Yeah. She placed the locket on the dresser, then went to the adjoining door and unlocked it. Like last night, she left the lights off. The room reeked of cigarette smoke, but she imagined it covered up other, more unpleasant odors. The drapes were already drawn tight, so she went into the bathroom and turned on the light. She watched as a roach darted across the floor, disappearing behind the toilet. A steady drip, drip, drip brought her attention to the sink, the drain lined with rust.
How is it?
Danny asked, as she looked over her shoulder.
I'm going to vote that we skip showers.
That bad, huh? She left the door cracked, just enough to cast a little light into the room. I'm going to stage the other room. Be right back. But Danny followed her, leaning against the adjoining door jamb as she watched her stuff pillows under the covers, shaping them as if two people were sleeping. Then she took the locket and placed it on the nightstand beside the bed.
We'll leave the lights on in here for an hour or so. If he's going to try to get in, I would guess it'd be well after midnight.
Then she shook her head. This is a crazy plan, Danny. Unless he's desperate to get his hands on you, I can't believe he'd try something with me in the room. She shrugged. Of course, I was in the room the other night. It didn't take much to get me out of the way.
Quit blaming yourself, Danny said. We were distracted, for one thing, and we were surrounded by cops. We felt safe. Besides, it happened so fast, I don't think I even had time to scream.
Yeah, you did. Danny smiled.
I did? All I remember is him hitting you and you falling. When I woke up, I was in the car.
Harper stared at her. I'm sorry, Danny. I should have... Danny held her hand up.
Stop. You act like you let him in and stood by while he took me.
She pointed to her cheek.
You have a battle scar to prove otherwise.
Harper nodded. You're right. I was distracted. She held her gaze. I'm still distracted. Danny's smile was...
It was sweet. Well, then I guess that makes two of us.
Harper laughed lightly. That's not a good thing. Come on, let's go next door. Maybe you can find a cooking show to watch. The cooking show couldn't hold her interest. There were too many other things vying for her attention, like the bedbugs that she imagined were hopping all over her, and the stale cigarette smell that was stifling, and the roach she'd seen slinking across the carpet, the worn, dirty, stained-with-God-knows-what carpet. Most likely, it was the anticipation of the clown finding them tonight. Anticipation? No, more like expectation. She didn't know what sixth sense told her that he was close, but she could practically feel him. The hair on the back of her neck was standing on end. Harper felt it too, she knew. Harper was pacing. Harper would stop and listen, alert to every noise from the parking lot. Loud voices from outside brought them both to their feet once, her heart thudding nervously until Harper shook her head, indicating it wasn't their guy. They'd turned the lights off in the adjoining room, the room where the locket was, at 11. Now as midnight approached, she knew she'd have to turn the TV off, plunging the room into darkness. The yellowish, dim light from the bathroom was barely enough for them to see by.
We need to be alert,
We can't assume that he doesn't know we have two rooms, Harper said quietly, barely louder than a whisper. Danny nodded. Harper had already given her a gun. She held it in her lap, wondering if she could actually use it, if she had to, wondering if she could really pull the trigger. Harper pointed at the TV. It's time. It took a few seconds for her eyes to adjust to the darkness. She blinked several times, trying to focus on Harper, who was still pacing slowly, back and forth, pausing to listen every so often. Danny let out a heavy breath. It was going to be a long night. Chapter 47 Harper felt the stress of the day, the week, begin to settle on her shoulders. She was tired enough, sleepy enough, to contemplate lying on the bed. Still, she continued to stand. She rolled her shoulders several times, then resumed her pacing. They had turned the light off in the bathroom, too, leaving the room in pitch darkness. She finally opened the drapes a little to let in some light from the parking lot. Danny was in the chair. She'd put a towel down to sit on. She'd fallen asleep a couple of times, only to jerk awake again as if from some bad dream. Harper had almost told her to relax, to sleep, if she wanted, but she didn't want them to let their guard down. Not tonight. He was coming tonight. He was arrogant enough to think that he could pull it off. And why not? He'd managed to snatch Danny without much resistance before, and that was with four cops surrounding her. Yeah, she'd let her guard down. She'd been distracted. But not tonight. She could feel it. The air was charged. Her senses were alert. She was ready. But how would he do it? Would he silently creep inside? She had no doubt that he could unlock the door, chain and all. It would probably be child's play to him after he'd managed the deadbolts at the safe house. Or would he do it loudly? Would he kick the flimsy door in with a loud crash? Would he hope to catch them sound asleep, too startled to put up a fight? No. She imagined him slithering in, quiet as a snake, ready to strike. He wanted Danny, not her. He would come with a knife, she guessed. He would kill her quickly, get her out of the way. Danny would be screaming, but he'd silence her somehow, and he'd take her away before any of the other few guests even stepped out of their rooms, wondering what the commotion was about. Or maybe they wouldn't even bother, not wanting to get involved, thinking it was only a domestic spat. Yes, that's probably what would happen. He'd have Danny then. No, he'd have Danielle Stevens. What would he do with her? Would he rape her? No doubt. Would he keep her for a few days? Or would he fear getting caught? Would he take what he wanted from her, whatever it was, then kill her? Would he do it quickly, or would it be slow torture? Like Jan had endured. A quick image flashed through her mind. The mass of bloody, sticky hair, the broken fingers, the knife wounds on her arms, her legs, the slash across her cheek, the dull, cold eyes. Only it wasn't Jan. The hair was blonde, the eyes blue. She clenched her fists into tight balls. No, not again. It would not happen again. She turned slowly, seeing Danny watching her. She relaxed her hands, then took a deep breath, letting it out slowly before going to her. She stood behind the chair, resting her hands on Danny's shoulders. "It's going to be okay," she whispered. She heard the quietest sound, almost no sound at all, yet it was. She glanced over at Harper, who held a finger to her lips. Harper's head was tilted, her gaze fixed on the adjoining doors. The door on their side was opened, leaving only the small, thin door from the other room between them. And their stalker. There. She heard it again. Her heart was pounding, the loud beats deafening. She gripped the gun tighter, but her palms were damp with nervousness. Harper took a step toward the door, which she'd left slightly ajar once she'd killed the bathroom light. Harper held her weapon at her side, as she stood there quietly, listening. She slowly turned her head toward Danny, motioning for her to stay back. Danny nodded, acknowledging her request. She was nearly paralyzed with fear as it was. She had no intention of moving. She literally jumped in her tracks, however, seconds later, when Harper slammed open the door, banging it against the wall as she burst into the other room. Danny stood on the threshold of the two rooms, her eyes wide as Harper struggled with a man, his white clown face glowing eerily in the dark room. He threw Harper against the wall, then tackled her to the ground. Danny held her gun up, but her hands were shaking so badly, she couldn't even attempt to fire it. Harper rolled them over, only to have him kick her off again. It was then that Danny saw the knife he held. Without thinking, she ran forward, ripping the old lamp off the table and hitting him with it. He staggered only a moment, but it was long enough for Harper to scramble out of his grasp. The clown turned toward Danny, his face an odd mixture of anger and hatred, yet conceit nearly oozed from his eyes as he stared at her. A smile, an evil smile, forming. It lasted only seconds, yet it felt like minutes. Then Harper threw himself at him, knocking him back once again. The knife fell from his grasp as they rolled on the floor, then he raised his arm, his fist connecting squarely with Harper's face. Danny could almost hear the bones breaking as Harper collapsed. He stood, picking up the knife as he turned toward her. It was in slow motion that he took a step closer.
"Gotcha again, little girl."
She raised her arms, the gun clasped between her trembling hands. She was so scared she couldn't take a breath, couldn't think, she couldn't move.
"Oh, Danielle, you're not going to shoot me. We have unfinished business, you and I."
He was only 10 feet from her, now 7, 6, 5. Her hands were shaking wildly, the gun swinging back and forth as her finger tightened on the trigger. Could she pull it? The gunshot was louder than she expected. Time seemed to stand still as he faltered, his eyes wide with disbelief. He took another step toward her, his white-gloved hand reaching for her, trying to grab her. Then he fell to his knees, teetering there before falling forward, landing with a final thud on the dirty carpet, the knife falling harmlessly from his grasp. Harper was standing there, her gun still pointing at his prone figure. It was only then that Danny realized that she hadn't been the one who had pulled the trigger after all. Her hands were shaking so badly now, the gun nearly fell to the floor. Then Harper was there, taking the gun, pulling her close, whispering words that Danny never heard. She clutched at Harper's shirt, burying her head against her, her entire body trembling, shaking uncontrollably. It was over. It was finally over. Chapter 48. Harper winced as the paramedic put a bandage over the cut on her cheek.
"Not so damn hard."
Emergency lights flashed from every direction, and the parking lot was filled with police cars. Danny had been whisked away by the FBI. As expected, they'd swooped in before the blood had even dried. They'd apparently tracked down Danny Strauss, as she thought they would. What she wasn't expecting, though, was to see Reed and Lieutenant Mize materialize out of the crowd. She stood, waving the paramedic away as Reed came toward her.
"You okay?"
"Yeah." She looked past him. "Where's Danny?" He motioned behind him. "FBI, giving a statement." She nodded.
"What the hell are you doing here?"
"The FBI tracked you. Mize brought me along. We got her about an hour ago. We were at the local PD briefing them when the call came in." He smiled. "They haven't seen this much activity in Claude in years, if ever. Half the town is probably gathered here." She looked back toward the motel. "Have they brought him out yet?" "No, they're still working the scene. No ID on him," they said. Reed stepped aside as Mize approached. Harper could tell by the look on his face that she was in more than just a little trouble.
"Well, you've taken insubordination to a whole new level."
"Yes, sir."
"You've also given new meaning to the term rogue cop, Detective Jeremiah."
She nodded.
"Yes, sir. But we'll discuss all of that in my office."
He leaned closer.
"I'm glad you got the bastard, Harper. But you're looking at a suspension. You know that, right?"
"Yes."
"But he killed a cop," Reed said, coming to her defense.
"Yeah,
and it very well could have been two cops and a damn actress if things hadn't worked out. We'll talk in my office.
Yes, sir.
He turned to walk away, then stopped.
Good job, Harper.
Reed nudged her shoulder.
So? You really okay?
Do I look okay? You're going to have a nice black eye there, it looks like. You did pretty good with him, though. He was a big man.
Yeah, he picked me up like I was one of his damn dolls.
She turned around, hearing her name being called. She saw Danny in the crowd of cops, looking for her. She raised her hand and waved, trying to catch her attention. Danny saw her and hurried over. Harper saw her hesitate, and she wondered if Danny was fighting an urge to hug her, hold her, make contact. Danny only briefly nodded at Reed before turning her full attention to Harper.
Are you okay? Anything broken?
Just my pride, Harper said with a smile.
Are you sure? I thought...
I'm fine.
Danny held her gaze for a long moment, then properly acknowledged Reed.
Detective Springer, you sure got here fast.
Yeah, as I was telling Harper, we were hot on your trail.
The FBI grill you?
Harper asked Danny.
Yes.
Then she smiled.
They were actually pretty nice. They're going to try to keep my name out of it.
Danny turned to Reed.
Do they know who the guy is? The FBI wouldn't tell me much.
Not yet, no. They found his car. There's like four dolls in there and a bunch of clown shit. Oh, and yeah, an LAPD detective shield.
Even though I was certain it was him, it's nice to have that confirmed, Danny said. At least I won't be looking over my shoulder from now on.
Reed turned to her. They're running his prints to see if he might really be LAPD and was just using a fake name. His shield looks authentic.
He certainly seemed authentic to me, Danny interjected. Nothing raised a red flag at all.
It would make sense, then, that he knew police procedures, Reed said. I guess you're probably ready to get the hell out of Texas, huh?
Danny flicked her gaze to her, meeting her eyes for a quick moment.
It's been an adventure, that's for sure.
Reed nudged her arm.
Mize is coming over again,
he said quietly. Lieutenant Mize stepped into their little circle, his eyes on Danny.
Ms. Stevens, I trust you're okay. I know it's been a hell of a week.
Danny nodded. Harper took the brunt of it. I'm fine. A little shook up, but physically fine.
Well, on behalf of the Dallas Police Department, I must extend my apologies for the actions of my detective.
He cleared his throat.
Detective Jeremiah was acting without authority and against orders. If you wish to file a formal complaint...
Seriously? She just saved my life.
He leaned closer, his voice quiet.
I'm aware of the circumstances. I'm simply required to make you aware of your options.
He straightened.
So I take it we won't be hearing from your attorney?
Danny shook her head.
No, I have no complaints regarding Detective Jeremiah's actions.
Very well. He cleared his throat again. You must be exhausted.
He tossed a quick glance over at her.
You too, Harper. It's going to be a while before we clear out of here. Reed, find a nice motel for us if you can. We're only 30 minutes from Amarillo. Get rooms for all four of us. We'll head back to Dallas about noon or so.
He looked at his watch.
Been a while since I've worked around the clock. Let's say we'll head back about 1. I would imagine I'll be here another couple of hours.
Yes, sir. How will you get to Amarillo?
I'm sure these FBI fellows will be heading that way. I'll get there.
He turned his attention to Danny.
Again, Miss Stevens, I'm grateful that you're okay. I know you gave a statement to the FBI. I suspect that will be sufficient for our report as well. We won't detain you any longer than necessary.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
He nodded, then touched Reed's shoulder as he turned to leave.
Text me the motel info.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 49.
Is this place okay?
The adobe siding and signature red roof of the La Quinta Inn was a far cry from the dingy motel they'd checked into 8 hours earlier. A cobblestone driveway led them to a covered area by the double doors. Danny looked in at the brightly lit lobby. It hadn't hit her yet, that they were no longer on the run, that there was no longer a creepy clown chasing them.
Perfect, she said.
I'm sure they have nicer ones in town, he offered.
Reed, this is fine, Harper said. We just need a place to get cleaned up and rest for a few hours.
Harper was sitting in the back seat, having offered the front to her. It had been a fairly quiet drive to Amarillo, with Reed trying to make conversation occasionally. Thankfully, it wasn't much more than half an hour before they hit the lights of the city. The motel had been easy to find. If the desk clerk thought it odd for them to be checking in at 4:30 in the morning, she didn't show it. There was, however, one awkward moment.
If it's okay with you, Danny said to Harper, I'd rather share a room. I'm still a little shook up, she said honestly.
No need to get four. She held Harper's gaze. Unless... Before Harper could answer, Reed said,
You're perfectly safe here. Mai said...
It's fine with me, Harper said. Just three rooms. Reed looked between them, frowning slightly, but he finally shrugged.
Okay, whatever you say.
The room was nice, spacious, and most importantly, very clean. She would have rather had a room with a king bed, but she didn't know how they would have explained that to Reed. She didn't realize how tired she was until Harper closed the door and let out her own weary sigh.
Why don't you shower first? She offered.
No, you go ahead. I've got to rummage through my bag and see if I've anything that's clean.
Danny stared at her for a moment. Things seemed, well, different between them. Maybe she'd been presumptuous or selfish when she'd requested to share a room. Now that the threat was over, now that they were going to say goodbye, was there any need? Was it necessary to spend these last 6 or 7 hours together? In bed? God, she wasn't ready to say goodbye. Danny, she blinked, not realizing that she was still staring.
Yes, I'll shower.
As she stood under the steady stream of warm water, she felt some of her stress dissipate. Stress associated with the stalker, that is. Another kind of stress seemed to settle upon her, though. She would be leaving, going back to her lonely, public life. She imagined Shelley had been trying to reach her, and honestly, she hadn't given her assistant a thought in days. In fact, she hadn't really given her life much thought either. No matter how much she wanted to pretend otherwise, she was Danielle Stevens, not Danny Strauss. She had responsibilities. She had commitments to honor. And for a few days, all of that had been swept aside. She'd simply been Danny Strauss, a woman. And really, the past week was almost like a dream. Chased by a stalker, protected by a beautiful woman, a woman who had become her lover. How long had it been since she'd called someone her lover? Had she ever? She and Tracy had been fumbling teenagers. And Tara? They'd had a secret affair for a year, an affair that was physical, never emotional. It had been enough. It had been enough to keep her sanity. Barely. But it wasn't enough for Tara. Well, perhaps it was too much. After Tara's death, she hadn't sought out anyone else. She hadn't dared. But then, she'd gotten discovered, her life had changed, and she'd found it easy to play the part. She'd been pretending her whole life anyway, pretending to be someone she wasn't. She had resigned herself to the fact that she would never have anyone. A lover, in her life. She would continue to play the part, continue to pretend, until it choked the very life out of her. She was at that point, wasn't she? Isn't that why she'd vowed this would be her last movie? Wasn't that why she wanted to disappear? Fade away? But fade away to what? To where? Was she ready to be Danny Strauss, lesbian? Was she ready to quit hiding who she was? Was she ready to go back home, see her parents, her sister? Was she ready for all of that? Was she ready to say goodbye to Harper? She turned the water off and reached for a towel, wondering what was going through Harper's mind. She seemed a little distant, withdrawn. She'd been under stress this week, too, Danny reminded herself. The Raggedy Ann dolls had brought back horrible memories for her, Add to that, Harper must be feeling some guilt for having slept with Danny. Did she view it as cheating on her dead lover? She stared at herself in the mirror. And here she was, hoping to have one more night with Harper. One more night where she could be Danny Strauss, lesbian. One more night where things would seem natural. No pretense. No games. Just two regular people making love. Would Harper give her that? One more time. Would Harper give her that? Harper came out of the bathroom, surprised to find Danny awake, the lights still on. The covers were pulled to her waist, and she was propped against pillows, her hands folded together in her lap. They hadn't talked about anything, and Harper wasn't sure what to do. Should she assume Danny wanted her to share her bed? Wasn't that the reason Danny hadn't wanted her own room in the first place? But still, she hesitated. Danny, however, did not. Come to bed. Harper held her gaze. I guess we should probably talk. Danny shook her head. Probably not. I don't want to talk, Harper. Not now. If Harper went to her, what did that say? Before, it was an emotional need, and physical, yes, that Danny had. Wasn't it? Her too. But now, the threat was over. The situation was over. They could relax. There was no need to offer each other emotional support. There was no need to hold each other, to kiss, to touch, to make love. If Harper went to her, there would be no excuse for it, no justification. They would make love because they wanted to. If she did that, if Harper went to her, then she feared Jan would be gone for good. Is that what she wanted? Did she want Jan to stop lurking around, stop haunting her nights and her days? If she went to Danny, was she consciously pushing Jan away? Danny was waiting, as if sensing the war going on inside her. Danny. Not Danielle Stevens. No. She'd never been Danielle to her. Just Danny. A beautiful woman who harbored a secret she didn't dare tell anyone. Except Harper. A woman with her own demons, her own fears. A woman who just wanted to be normal. And Harper could give her normal. Harper could give her that. She walked over to the door and turned out the light. The lamp beside the bed wasn't obtrusive. It cast a soft glow around Danny. A halo. Harper stood beside the bed, then pulled her shirt off and tossed it down. Danny folded the covers back, inviting Harper in beside her. This time, Harper didn't hesitate. It was with sure hands that she removed Danny's shirt, tossing it aside without care. Their mouths met in an almost quiet kiss. Gentle. Lips moving slowly. Deliciously so. A soft hand touched her breast, and Harper sucked in her breath as Danny's thumb circled her nipple. Lay back, Danny whispered. Let me make love to you. Harper's muddled brain tried to protest. No, it was Danny who needed her, not the other way around. Wasn't it? But she had no willpower to stop Danny as soft hands removed the underwear she'd slipped on only moments earlier. The feeble attempt she made to take control, to roll them over, was met with firm resistance as Danny settled her weight on top of her. A warm, wet mouth covered her breast. A tongue stroked her nipple, and Harper closed her eyes, resigning herself to give whatever Danny wanted, whatever she needed. It didn't take long for her to know Danny's intent as she kissed her way down Harper's body, a persistent mouth nibbling on her skin, eliciting moans that Harper couldn't contain. Knowing hands spread her thighs, and Harper felt a chill run up and down her heated body. She wanted to tell Danny to hurry, but no, not hurry. Take her time. Take all night, if she wanted. Danny's hips rose up when Harper entered her. Her arms were wrapped around Harper's head, holding her at her breast. She could feel how wet she was. She could feel Harper's wetness, too, as it coated her thigh. She groaned as Harper's fingers plunged inside, her hips rolling against Danny's as she sunk deeper, filling